Okay, we're back, and I just want to remind you that learning in the shul this week, including this week's chabur, is sponsored in memory of Mr. Fishel Campbell, Fishel Ben Lazer, Yidel Halevi, by his grandchildren, the Manzon Ness and Sepika families, and of course it's our hope that the Divrei Torah that we offer this week certainly should serve as a zechus, aliyas neshama, together with these three wonderful families, banim ubnei banim, oskim batorah, b'mitzos yihi zichro baruch. Okay, we have two questions for the week. I am now in the process of procuring tefillin for my son's bar mitzvah. The sofer showed me a brand new pair of tefillin, and I noticed that it was black on both sides. He told me that this was all the rage and a sign of the times, making it deluxe, which you know what that means, more expensive. I looked at my own pair, and recently that of my father and my father-in-law, and I noticed that ours were black on only one side. Now, should I get double black straps for my son, and should I switch mine? And that, of course, is question number one. Question number two, this is the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and so the following question was posed. My neighbor is a Baal Tshuva. We do what we can to encourage him and his family in their quest to study Torah and perform mitzvahs in the best way possible. We invited his family for the Pesach Seder too. This year, he asked if he can invite his father too. The thing is, his father isn't Jewish. Can his father come to our Seder? So we have the father at the Seder, and the double-sided tefillin. I think for practical reasons, we'll save the double-sided tefillin, and we'll take a look at the father at the Seder. Unfortunately, with the world of assimilation the way it is, we are finding that this shaila is coming up more and more. There are people who are coming to our Sedarim who are not Jewish, and is there an issue? I remember that I had a classmate in graduate school who brought me a bottle of Manischewitz and said to me, "Can if I do this, can I come to the Seder?" I asked him, "Why do you want to come to the Seder?" He said, "Dude, four cups of wine." I said, "Okay, that's the way it goes." He was a wonderful Italian guy, but I did not invite him to the Seder. So again, my neighbor is a Baal Tshuva. We do what we can to encourage him and his family in their quest to study Torah and perform mitzvahs in the best way possible. We invited his family for the Pesach Seder too. This year he asked if he can invite his father. The thing is, his father's not Jewish. Can he be at our Seder? No, he is Jewish. He's Jewish. His mother was Jewish, which makes him Jewish. She intermarried, and now he is a Baal Tshuva. Can he come to the Seder? Yeah, so there are a number of issues that can need to be discussed over here. The first one has to do with inviting somebody who's not Jewish to your table on Yontif. And Yontif, of course, may be different than Shabbos. What else? Right? The wine is going to be an issue. Right, the matzah, we'll see if there's an issue with anything concerning the other mitzvos, the matzah, the maror. Maybe in a couple of months we'll talk about the haruses, right? We'll talk about those things. And anything else? Well, we'll see. I think there's another very major issue that needs to be discussed. So let's take it apart step by step and see where we go. First of all, let's start with the issue of inviting. So the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen Tav Kuf Yud Beis Sif Aleph, notes that we don't invite kusim to eat with us on Yantiv, since we can't cook for them. The Torah's language in this week's parasha is pretty clear. Ach asher yeyachel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeyaseh lachem. It's only things that are ochel nefesh. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Megillah, that ein main Shabbos liyantif ela ochel nefesh bovad, that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yantif except for the issues of ochel nefesh. That also appears here in Parshas Bo, and what the Torah is telling us is that one can cook on Yantif for Tzorech Yantif, but that Tzorech Yantif is lochem, as the Torah says in this week's parasha, lochem v'lo l'kusim. And that is pointed out by the Mishnah Berurah over here in Tav Kuf Yud Beis Sif Katan Beis, that the issue is Lachem Belo Lekusim. Now, what is the concern over here? So the Shulchan Aruch explains, we're concerned, Shema Yarber Bishvilo. You may come to add to the pot for the non-Jew, and the non-Jew is not included in the process of Ochel Nefesh, which means you'll be violating the laws of cooking on Yontif. It's not just a blanket heter. You can cook for whatever you feel like. It has to be Litzorech Yisrael, Litzorech Ochel Nefesh. The Mishnah Berurah adds that you can't even serve food that you pre-prepared, since you might cook further, because now you have extra people. So, in other words, if I planned on having seven people, right, and I made enough portions like a good Jewish mother for 9 or 11 or 14, right, and now all of a sudden everybody likes the matzah balls, And now I have to go ahead and make more matzah balls. Even though I may be using the existing matzah balls that exist already for the kusi, and then adding because somebody else at the table who is fully Jewish would be able to get the benefit of the extra matzah balls, that's not allowed either, because I'm being marbet indirectly because I have the non-Jew over here. Now, if that were the case, the question's dead on its face. We can't bring somebody to the Seder if we can't feed them. In fact, this causes a major issue throughout all the days of Yom Tov, where there's an isser of cooking. So, and this is distinct from Shabbos, where I don't have the same challenge, because all the food is pre-prepared before Shabbos. So, what do you do? Is this the end of the question? Does the Shiloh all of a sudden die over here? So the Bir Halacha quotes the Rashba. And the Rashba says that even if there were to be a tremendous embarrassment by what we call Eva, by not inviting the non-Jew, you still can't invite the person to the Seder. And the Prima Kadam holds this way, La'alacha, except with one exception. If it will cause a loss of Simchas Yontif for the person, for the Jew involved, so then maybe there's room to be Mako. So for instance, if the child, the Baal Tshuva here, doesn't have a chance to invite his father to listen to his children sing Manashana, this will cause a degree of a loss of Simchas Yontif. So there are poskim in this situation who say that, look, we're relying on the Prima Gadim, and that would be okay. It should be pointed out that poskim who do rely on the Prima Gadim seem to suggest that it would be better if you prepare all the food before Yontif, like you would as if it were a Shabbos, so that this way you don't come to the chashash of Shema Yarbe Bishvilo. So again, and as far as this is concerned, as far as the issue of just having the non-Jew come to the meal, because there is a relationship over there, and because there is a question of a mania, of a holdback on Simchas Yontif, there is a basis perhaps for a heter. Though it should be noted that this is not a carte blanche. You can't just invite your next door neighbor, carte blanche because of whatever. Here we have a familial connection of some sort, and we want to, sort of encourage some sort of relationship, and so therefore there might be a basis to rely on the Prima Gadim, but still, notwithstanding, we have to take the precaution of the Shulchan Aruch into account, and so it would be ideal if there were to be no cooking going on Yontif, for those who are not Jewish. There's another way to handle the situation. And what's the other way? So, Rabbeinu Tam, based on Rabbeinu Tam and the Trumas HaDeshen and the Ktzos HaChoshen, in Simen, HaChoshen Mishpat Simen Kof, Kuf Tzadi Hey Sif Katan Aleph, one could possibly be Makna the Nachri's food to the Nachri before Yom Tov. You can do a Kinyan Chalipin to the father, in this case, the non-Jew, and you say to him, what's yours is yours. Then the rest of us can eat, because our food is ours. But of course, that would require a priest designation, and it assumes that you can do a Kinyan Chalipin with a non-Jew. The Shach is not so excited about that, and so therefore, perhaps, one would not be able to go ahead and proceed in that manner. So again, in summation of point number one, is there a basis to allow for an invitation? Well, there's a problem of Shema Yarbe. There's a question about having non-Jews at your Yontif table as opposed to your Shabbos table. But maybe in a situation where there is a possibility for the loss of Simchas Yontif, maybe in that situation there's room to be Mekel, but if you're going to be Mekel, you still have to take into account the Chashash of the Shulchan Aruch. So we offer two possibilities. Possibility number one is that all the food should be prepared as though it was a Shabbos, so you won't come to Shema Yarbeh, to adding to the extra food. And the other possibility is to be maknam the non-Jew's food to the non-Jew, in which case you're just having your food, the non-Jew just happens to be at the table. There is a second issue. What's the second issue? The second issue is the wine. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel Sif Gimel notes that if we have mavusha wine that's handled by an achri, it's okay. Which teaches us something more fundamental, backtracking it to Masechet Avodah Zarah in the beginning of this, in the middle of the second perek. We know that wine that's handled by a non-Jew, that is not mevushal, regular wine, we have to be concerned that maybe he was menasech the wine, that maybe he set aside the wine for Avodah Zarah. So, of course, If you're using Namavusha wine at your Seder, you've got a really serious problem if you have non-Jews sitting at the Seder. Now, so the first solution is to have only Mavusha wine, right? So that if that were the case, perhaps you would solve the problem, right? Well, what's the definition of Mavusha? Right? The Shach in Sivkat and Vav, here in Yerodeya Simon Kovchav Gimel, adds that if the wine is Mavusha, you can drink it Lechatchila with a non-Jew, no problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Simon Chav Hei, notes that as long as the wine has been heated to the point that its value is diminished, then it's okay. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, who also had discussed the issue in Igris Moshe, both in Yerodeya Chelek Beis Zimin and Beis, and Yerodeya Chelek Gimel Zimin Laman Aleph, notes that as long as it gets to Yad Soledes Bo, that's enough to consider it Mavushal. That's a pretty big heter of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because again, Rav Shlomo Zalman says Mavushal means the value goes down. Rav Moshe says the Mavushal means as long as you get to Yad Soledes, pasteurize. Perhaps a pasteurization may be enough. The Shibboleth Halakhah, however, disagrees. In the Shibboleth Halakhah Chelek Beis Siman Nun Aleph, he notes in the name of the Meiri that Mavushal needs to cause a change in the taste of the wine. If there's no change to the taste of the wine, so the goy will continue to be menasech the wine. And this is a serious issue. So how does one proceed, right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Elyashiv both note that if you have to be choshesh for this Meiri, pasteurization of wine today won't help for that. And so therefore, what does one do? You have this nachri sitting at the table. Everyone's pouring wine for everyone else. That's going to create a problem, even if it's mavushal, unless it's mavushal beyond the minimum of pasteurization. So therefore, it might be better if the homeowner is the one who pours the wine. Right? If the homeowner takes on the minhag in our house on the Seder night, I'm the one who pours all the wine, so then you don't come to any difficulty. This is not the standard practice, I know, but that's a minhag, and we're dealing with a potential iser, so therefore a person should be very careful and make sure that that is the case. And it's also strongly encouraged to make sure that the non-Jew not leave anything over in his cup. If you're going to use non-Mavusha wine, and you pour wine into a cup that's handled by a nachri, you're mixing into Yayin Esach, and that's also no good, says the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya at the beginning of Siman Kuf Chavav. So how does one deal with the situation in our story? Ideally, use a Mavusha wine. Use a Mavusha wine poured by the Balabayas. And again, this, coupled with the previous issue of the invitation, might be able to solve our crisis. But it leads us to another problem. What's the problem? The whole story of the Seder is built around one thing, and what's that? The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a higher order of Limud HaTorah. In fact, the Mefarshim point out that when we make the statement, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'Yama Yisrael, we are adding to the level of Birchas HaTorah. Shach used to tell us that all the time, that there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's a unique mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the Seder night. And the unique mitzvah of the Talmud Torah for Seder night requires a further analysis and a further awareness than just the standard Birchas HaTorah. And for that reason, we make it our business to say the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu before we start the majority of the story. And so therefore, most of the Haggadah is built around the idea of learning Torah. What's the problem with learning Torah? Well, the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph points out that a person is not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew because of the problem of Mishpatim Bal Yadoim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph notes that Torah is a Minasati Osa Lachem Marasha, that God gave it, gave Torah to us, Lachem Velo Lagoyim. In fact, the Gemara says that a non-Jew who studies Torah is Chayav Misa. So the Rambam in the Pe'er Ador Siman Nun leads a group of Mefarshim who note that obviously it doesn't mean you take him outside and you hang him. It means that there's a Chayav Misa Min HaShamayim. So the Gemara's interpretation is as follows. Since the Torah was given to the Jewish people exclusively, so a non-Jew who learns Torah is taking something that doesn't belong to him, which is akin to stealing. And since that is one of Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the punishment is death. Or, we say that Morasha is Ma'orasa. Morasa is a process of betrothment, and someone who takes something that belongs to someone else is committing an offense similar to adultery. That too is punishment, which is punishable by the death penalty. Because that person intruded on our exclusive relationship. While on the subject, the Meiri over there in Sanhedrin notes that based on the Gemara's limitation, that if a non-Jew studies Torah in order to fulfill mitzvos and midos that he learns, then it's not a violation, it's a praise. And so therefore, if we change the entire Haggadah just to focus on Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right, there would be no problem. The Amshel Shlomo, Baba Kama, Perek Dalid Tes, he used to complain about the Jews in Spain who taught Torah to the Goyim for profit. He says that's pretty much Kfira. The issue is that Torah is not supposed to be misused. So Tosis, here in Chagiga, notes that a Jew teaches Torah to a non-Jew is guilty of Lifnei Iver. The Gemara also says it's an issue of Mishpatim Ba'idom. So the Sri Dayeshin, Chelek Beisim, and Tzadi Tas notes the issue goes further than Lifnei Iver, because, quite honestly, you're sitting at the table with Haggadahs all over the place, whether it's the Maxwell House Haggadah or the Fancy Pants Haggadahs, but there are translations all over the place. And so therefore, it can't just simply be a Lifnei Iver issue, because there is no Lifnei Iver if there is a possibility for the person to get the information otherwise. If that's the case, what do you do? Well, what do you do if, forget about the grandfather in our case, what if the person who's coming to the Seder is a child of intermarriage? Rav David Tzvi Hoffman asked that question in Shas Tshuvas Melamed Lahol Yoredeya Simen Ayin Zayin. Rav Ovadia Yosef asked the same question in Yabia Omer Chelek Beis Yoredeya Yud Zayin. So in both cases, what we were told to do is not to make a ruckus, but to teach the parent that teaching in such a situation would cause a conflict in the home. Shulta Giborim says a bigger chiddush. You can teach Navi and Ksuvim to the Goyim since they'll make them aware of a future Geula, and it teaches them Midos. If you take the Shulta Giborim, then our Pesach Seder is not a difficulty. Teaching all the deep, intricate Vertalach of the Popul Charifta is probably a little bit of a problem. Saying over Reb Chaim's is probably a little bit of a problem, which would probably cause a little bit of a difficulty considering the fact that we have a mitzvah Marba L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. But to say that you can't tell the basic story, you have a right to tell the basic story. So again, there is a fundamental overarching problem of having the non-Jew sitting there at the Seder. And that is the fact that he's going to be listening and being involved in the conversation of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that conversation is essential to the Seder. What do you do about the situation? So again, on the one hand, we are allowed to make them aware of mitzvos that are shaykh to them. But this is the question becomes a much bigger question, and it finds its roots nowhere more obvious than right here in good old-fashioned Elizabeth. And it's not because of Pinchas Taitz alone, it's because of Moreno Arav Taitz Shlita as well. Writing in Hapardes and Hamaor, Hapardes in 5714 and Hamaor in 5726, Rav Pinchas Taitz describes giving the Daf HaShavua in the radio program in English. Who is the one who gave the Daf HaShavua in English? It was none other than Moreno Harav Taitz Shalita. And how is one able to go ahead and do so? So the answer is, that was an issue. In fact, promotion, an issue, but it wasn't a bigger, major difficulty, because in a mixed audience, Jews and non-Jews, it's not going to be a problem. Reb Moshe says the same thing in regard to a Seder where there will be also non-Jews present. Reb Moshe, Igris Moshe, Yerideya Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, points out that if you have Jews and non-Jews, you don't have a difficulty. Tavi, the student of Rabban Gamliel, listened to the Limud HaTorah of Rabban Gamliel, right? And so therefore, that's not a difficulty. And so therefore, having him sit here is not going to be a difficulty. Rav Ovadia Yosef adds that we have a bigger issue. And what's that? It's a psik resha delo nichalei, quite honestly. If you have a non-Jew listening, that's just something that you don't want. And so therefore, it doesn't cause a difficulty. So again, in summation, as far as the second point is concerned about teaching, having the non-Jew sitting at the table during the teaching, we pointed out that, yeah, that could be a problem, but both Moreno Harav Taitz Shalita, when he started Daf HaShavua in English and ran into the risk of having non-Jews listening to him teach Torah, and Rav Moshe Feinstein specifically speaking about the Pesach Seder, both of them utilized the position that since it's Me'urav, it's a fact that you have a mixed audience, it's not going to be a problem. And the example of Tavi, the student, the servant, the Eved Kenani, who was not Jewish, Avraham and Gamliel, became such an overwhelming expert in the rules of the Torah that serves as nothing else but a phenomenal proof that this would not present a difficulty. How about matzah? Let's talk about that issue that somebody raised about the matzah. So the Mishnah Berurah in Or HaChaim, Simon Kuf Samach Zayin notes that when a person is botzeya, when you break the bread, you shouldn't feed that initial piece to an animal, to a kusi, or to a bird. And the source for this halacha is the Taz. The Taz seems to suggest that this is not a good practice. Now, the Mishnah Berurah adds that he saw in the Sefer Tamei HaMitzvos of Rabbi Menachem Rikanti that one also shouldn't feed a non-member of the tribe what we call matzos mitzvah. In fact, the Rikanti in this week's parsha says that there's a chibuv aspect to the mitzvah of matzah and maror of the Seder night. So the unique matzos that you set aside to be designated to the Seder, according to the Mishnah Berurah, don't feed that to the guests. Bring extra matzos to the table and let the non-Jew eat from those, the ones that you would use tomorrow for lunch, or the next day, or the day after, or whatever. Those would be an issue. But to say that he can't eat any matzah, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. Whether he'll want to, he's not Jewish, he's not obligated, it's a different story. But to be able to have the experience, that's the case. Again, all this is b'di'evet. The Seder is our opportunity to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam to celebrate our own Geula. So again, a person has a potential problem of Shema Yarbeh, but if we're relying on Heterim to be able to go ahead and allow Bali Tshuva to experience Simchas Yontif, there is a basis. There's a basis on the basis of Simchas Yontif to allow the invitation. There's a basis on the fact that it's a mixed audience to allow the Limud HaTorah aspect of the Haggadah. There's a issue in terms of the wine, but we can deal with it and work around it by dealing with Mavushal and by not having the non-Jew do any of the boring. And then there is the understanding that, so you know, if you're concerned about the matzah mitzvah, give him the matzah mitzvah at a different point in time. I think I'm out of time, unfortunately, so I'm going to stop here, and Bezos Hashem, we'll come back to the tefillin at another point in time. Have a wonderful Shabbos.